Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Now, the mother and baby homes were places of callousness, brutality and shame. That's according to Minister for Children, Roderick O'Gorman, responding to today's report. Well, we're going to get more government reaction now to today's devastating report from the Commission. Anne Rabbitt is Minister of State at the Department of Children and she joins us on the line. Minister, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We were speaking to Catherine Corliss just a short while ago and some of the words that she used to describe that webinar with survivors earlier this afternoon were whitewash, political jargon, big long sentences and confusion. She said it left survivors completely deflated and she wants to know why so many babies were buried, who buried them and who will be held accountable. Do you think those questions are addressed in the report or what do you say to her?
Look at Sarah, there's a variety of opinions after today's webinar that took place of where there was over 500 survivors on it. I too myself was in contact with some of the survivors who welcomed what the Taoiseach and Minister O'Gorman had to say because they were looking for tangible supports to support their survivors. But I take totally on board what Catherine is after saying. Catherine has been tireless in all her advocacy and down to Catherine, perhaps we would never have had a commission of investigation because it was her in a historian role that had actually uncovered the remains of the babies in Tuam. The Taoiseach did address in relation to that the report would be sent to the DPP in relation to the Mother and Commission, Mother and Homes Commission as well. So hopefully that will start answering some of the questions. But it is over a 3,000 page document. There is a lot of reporting on it, but there is also the government today starts by saying they're taking an apology tomorrow. There is
I'll get on to that in a second, yeah. Minister, if you don't mind, but just if I could go back to those questions. As you say, this is a 3,000 page report.
Yes.
In those 3,000 words, I haven't had a chance to get through it all, and indeed I'm sure most people haven't.
No.
I'm wondering, are those questions posed by Catherine Corliss, are they answered in 3,000 pages? Why did so many babies die? Who buried them? And who will be held accountable?
Well, it does address some, but it doesn't address but not excuse in relation to the high mortality, infant mortality rates in it. It does actually speak about the fact that we were led to believe that the mother and baby home was a safe place if you went as an unmarried mother. But in actual fact, the report says within it, it wasn't a safe place. It talks about the high mortality rates. And in some places, the mortality rate was as high as 24% of deaths in the first year. But it also talks about the congregated settings. It talks about the sanitary at the time that where infection and disease spread very quickly. So it does address some of that. Doesn't excuse it, but it does address it, Sarah.
Okay, and in relation to the questions as to who buried the babies and who will be held accountable?
I haven't got to that part of the report myself, to be honest, Sarah, but the babies had to be buried by whoever was working in the institutions at the time.
So you haven't got to that part of the report, but the Sunday Independent had it at the weekend.
I had a section of the report that I read, Sarah. It was to do with the testimonies of the survivors. The over 500 survivors came forward and gave their testimonial.
Do you know, though, if those questions are answered about who buried the babies and who will be held accountable? Because surely we can all recognise they are key questions.
They will be questions that will be addressed over the next coming days because there will be statements next week as well in the Dáil. And at that stage, I hope to be at the end of the report of it, Sarah.
All right. Another thing Catherine Corliss was talking about was the issue of an apology. And I want to get to the state apology from the Taoiseach in just a moment. But she was specifically asking for an apology from the religious orders and the Catholic Church. And she was asking on the government to call for that apology. She was saying a lot of blame is being placed on society. But what survivors are looking for is an acknowledgement from the religious orders or the people who were running the homes that we did wrong. And she says the only people who can apologise for the neglect and the abuse that was perpetrated on the women are the perpetrators.
Well, I do know that that was addressed at the press conference as well. And Mr. O'Gorman has written to the Catholic Church and to the Protestant Church, to the both heads of it. And he has requested a meeting with them. He has addressed that.
OK, so he has requested a meeting. And do you expect something to come from that in terms of an apology?
Well, in my own personal opinion, I would happen to agree with what Catherine Corliss has said.
In relation to the state apology then that we're expecting from the Taoiseach yesterday, I know that the Taoiseach said today he intends to go ahead with that state apology in the Dáil tomorrow. I'm sure you're aware, the Taoiseach is certainly aware, that a number of survivors have come out in the last couple of days saying they would like that to be delayed until they have had a chance to read this report. Now, you gave a very impressive speech at that press conference earlier, Minister. I was watching you and you were talking about empowering survivors and listening to them and sharing the weight of their abuse. But I wonder, are we falling at the first hurdle here and immediately not listening to them by going ahead with the state apology tomorrow when some have specifically asked for that to be delayed?
I hear exactly what you're saying there, Sarah. So what I think is where the Taoiseach is coming with the state apology, he sees that as the starting of the process, is the starting of us starting to rebuild that trust, to actually put a plan in place to bring forward a lot of the issues that you'd already highlighted on the show in relation to the information and tracing, in relation to the burial grounds, in relation to the Minister setting up the strategic action group where the short-term, medium and long-term goals. And there's nothing to say that the Taoiseach can't come further in and make further commentary in months ahead. But yeah, at this moment, and he sees it.
We've waited how many years for this report? Could it even wait a week for that state apology to allow people to read the report?
I think it all has to do with sequencing and timing. And like, it is unfortunate that what got leaked at the weekend got leaked, Sarah. There is no denying that. And it broke trust before we ever started, OK? Mm. And it wouldn't have been what I would have wanted, or Minister, anybody in government would have wanted.
I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking specifically about the state apology because, I mean, there was no hard copy of this report sent to many of the survivors in advance. Kayleen Hogan, who is a journalist who has covered this extensively, yes, she was with one 82-year-old mother from Tuam today, watching her, watching the webinar. And that 82-year-old woman had no access to the report because she couldn't access it online. You know, and yet they're getting a state apology tomorrow when they haven't even had a chance to see the report.
Yeah, I do know that the Office for the Children, anybody who had sent forward their email address, that there was hard copies being printed out and posted out yesterday as well by the Office of the Children. I hear exactly, and there's a balancing in all of this, Sarah, and you'd appreciate that, but I can see exactly where the Taoiseach is coming from. I would be supportive of the state apology. I would be supportive to hear his words tomorrow to the survivors.
The Coalition of Mother and Baby Home Survivors has accused both you and your government of a cop-out for blaming what happened in the homes on, and I quote, massive societal failure and misogyny. They say what happened was state policy. They say that today the government and the churches ran the homes together, hand in glove. So why blame society? Why not lay the blame at the feet of the government and the state?
I did in my speech, Sarah. I did in my speech. I think that there was a combination. And you know what I think is really sad? The circle of blame still continues. OK, so at that moment, at that time in society, yes, there was pressure on families and there was pressure on families to ensure that the shame that was associated, the secrecy that was associated, it was all so, so wrong. And we're continuing with that blame, where in actual fact, we have a commission of investigation report. And we have eventually got to the stage where we're getting a state apology, where we're going to move forward. And in actual fact, what we need as society is to actually share the burden of shame that these women and children have had for a long number of years, 76 years.
But when everyone is responsible, no one is responsible.
But you know what? Public are responsible, government are responsible. We as a collective are responsible. Like Ireland, we can't equate to where we are at this moment in time. But in the up to the 70s, you know, there was serious pressure on families, families who were very, very religious, who were embedded in the community, who felt under pressure that the right
under
thing
pressure
to do.
From whom, though, Anne, again? You know, I mean, the pressure surely is coming from the state, is surely coming from the church.
Under pressure from what the neighbours taught at them, under pressure from what the church taught at them, what the doctor taught at them, what their role was in society, if they could continue to go to Mass. The list goes on, Sarah.
All right. Well, we heard earlier also from Catherine O'Donnell from CLAN. That's the support group for mother and baby home survivors. She said the first action she wants to see from government is the immediate introduction of access to records legislation. They say that all people in Ireland must be guaranteed access to their birth certificate. Will that be done immediately?
From what I can gather from Minister Gorman is that he hopes to bring forward the legislation on the information and tracing straight away, ASAP.
All right. And just another issue about that Catherine Corliss raised a little earlier was the issue of the exhumation of those little babies in Tuam, and why it has taken so long, firstly, and why we're being told it's now still going to take until the end of the year. She says, you know, this is being put on the long finger again.
And it was unfortunate that last year when we fell into a general election, that was supposed to come before the Children's Oireachtas Committee for discussion. I was on that committee. I at that time as well, that was one of the reasons I didn't want a general election, because I really wanted it before us. But I do know that Minister Gorman has spoke with the chair of that committee, that the new heads of bill are going to come before it. He has asked them to make it as a priority, that the pre-legislative scrutiny would done. It would then come before, they would bring it forward as a committee report, and it would go through the two houses, and he's hopeful to have that done in 2021. So at that stage then we can start the pathway of the exhumation, the DNA process, and what has really held up as well, the DNA of for people coming forward donating their DNA, has been the COVID situation, and he addressed that as well earlier on today.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time to speak to us this evening. That's Minister of State at the Department of Children, Anne Rabbitt. Back
after
this.
Sarah.